Good morning, honorable members and our presenters, our officials, PMG, everybody in the house. Before we take the apologies, I just want to welcome everybody and our presenters from Leisure and Recreation Association of South Africa. So it's a pleasure to have an NGO doing presentation here. And also I must indicate that as Parliament, it's our wish, you know, to have interaction with the community, but in most cases it becomes very difficult for ordinary people to fly to Cape Town. So we are happy that at least you managed to come to Parliament and make your presentation. On that note, I'm going to request that we introduce ourselves so that when we interact with the presentation, we know exactly who we are. I'll start with myself here. I'm Wendy Makate, the chairperson of the Select Committee. I'm from the Northwest Province.
Morning, I'm Honorable Mnube from Gauteng. Thank you.
Good morning, my name is Sipho Plaki. I'm representing the Northwest Province in the NCOP.
Good morning, my name is Michael de Villiers. I'm representing the Western Cape in the NCOP.
Good morning, my name is Willem Faber and I represent the Northern Cape Province in the NCOP. Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Lydia Mshodi. I'm coming from the Free State Province. Thanks.
I'm Nomonde Khasmeni from Northwest Province.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'm Khalif Mashamaji from Limpopo Province. Thank you.
Marie Young, Secretary of LARASA and also lecturer at the Western Cape University.
Malika Naidu, LARASA and lecturer, University of KwaZulu-Natal.
Hlangani Baloyi, researcher for the committee.
PMG Jasjit.
Bafa Lugani, Parliamentary Communication Services.
Zuyanda Langa, Secretary to the committee.
Thank you, everybody. Is there any apology? Apologies.
We got two apologies from Honorable Boroto and Honorable Zulu. Thank you.
Chairperson, I will be leaving. I have a meeting with the Deputy Speaker at 11.
Honorable members, I'm just going to give an opportunity to our presenters here from LARASA just to give us a brief, and immediately after that we are going to interact. Maybe I should just indicate sometimes it will be in a form of clarity seeking questions or questions. And as you are aware that members are representing provinces, in most cases they will be more interested at the provincial issues. How do you relate and all that? No, it's fine. Over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, for giving us this opportunity to present LARASA to the committee and yourself. It's indeed an honour for us to be here. We've never been into Parliament before, so it's quite an experience. It's also wonderful to be here to interact at this level, to convey the message that we would like to convey through our association. I'm going to take you through a very brief overview of recreation and leisure, and the main objectives of the presentation would be to introduce you to the association and to our goals, to trace the history, just to give you some background information into what recreation and leisure is all about, and then to just interrogate to a briefly what the position is in South Africa and how we see recreation services delivered in the future. Okay, our mission is to advance leisure and recreation efforts that enhance the quality of life for all people. And our vision statement encompasses very broadly to serve as a unified association, creating opportunities through leisure and recreation service delivery to build a better life for all South Africans in line with the Millennium Development Goals. Now, we felt this was important because the Millennium Development Goals were established, and I think it is the responsibility of every citizen to ensure that we work towards achieving these Millennium Development Goals. And we believe very strongly that recreation and leisure services can make a big difference in this area. Marie will expand on exactly how the Millennium Development Goals are linked to La Raza's aims.
When we look at our goals of La Raza, which we'll see after this, presenting the Millennium Goals, we have various goals that links up with the Millennium Goals, and when we set our goals, we also looked at the at Millennium Goals. If we focus on two specific of our goals, is in establishing our professional organization and building knowledge as well as building awareness. First of all, we can say that we are not just going to focus on the training of the professionals. That is one of our main focus points. But in providing the proficient training to professionals, we can actually filter this down to community level, where we can make use of volunteers and we can give skills training to volunteers to provide programs in the communities. And also we can focus on vulnerable groups such as your women, children, disabled people, and through recreation programs, provide them with skills that will build self-sustainability, self-sufficiency, strengthen them mentally and physically, and that is all through benefits-based approach in providing programs, because we're not focusing on the activities, but we're actually focusing on the outcomes the programs will provide to communities. In that, we will achieve universal primary education. That will have a filtering effect on other Millennium Goals, such as eradication of extreme poverty and hunger, because through our programs, we can teach our people to become entrepreneurs, where they can either make things or do horticultural activities or do other activities where they can generate either income for themselves or have a little bit of a trade kind of relationship within the community. We can also focus on gender equity and empower our women through these programs, as well as our children, because we can identify women leaders in the community where we can get them as volunteers and skill them to provide programs and give back to the community. That will reduce child mortality. It will improve maternal health because the programs can focus on the whole quality of life, which includes health. And through programs, we can educate mothers and through that increase their health. We can combat HIV/AIDS, malaria, and other diseases through our programs with giving special notification out there and tell people about these diseases and how to overcome these diseases and how to live with these diseases as a community. In creating awareness, we can also ensure environmental sustainability
by building environmental stewardship, by educating people and making them aware of our environment, and actually teaching them how to preserve our environment for our children to come. We have also developed global partnership for development through our relationship with the National Parks and Recreation Association of South America, as well as the World Leisure Organization. So you can already see that La Raza has linked up with the Millennium Goals and achieved some of the Millennium Goals as part of our citizenship.
Okay, we believe we closely linked to community development, that we believe through our recreation service delivery and programming, we will ensure the empowerment of communities, boosting self-confidence and self-esteem, and for them to take ownership of what is their right within their communities. So just to fill you in very, very briefly on the background and how we were formed, La Raza is a non-profit organization which was founded in May 2010, and it is registered with the NPO office in Pretoria. We have an NPO number as well, and our primary members were from the universities. The reason for this was that as professionals ourselves, we really didn't have a base or a home to work from. As an engineer, you would qualify, you write a certified exam, and you become a professional. You're recognized as a professional, and you have your association that recognizes you. And then you have your doctors who have the HPCSA who would recognize. So everybody has a professional association except us. And, I mean, you know, I don't have a PhD yet, neither does Marie, but we're working on our PhDs, and the others already have PhDs and they are professors, but they're still not recognized as a professional. So the association was created as a home base for professional people to network and to promote the sector. And our main focus would be on advocacy of the professional in establishing and recognizing La Raza as a professional body. SAQUA, South African Qualifications Authority, has now set up a process where associations apply and will be recognized as professional bodies. So next year we will be following that route, and we will develop certified professional exams to certify professionals in this sector. At least then we start to benchmark what we do all over the country, and we become accountable for what we do as well in terms of service delivery. We would also see ourselves as advancing the development of best practices and resources that will make parks and recreation an essential service. We will serve to become the center of excellence for connecting advocates, professionals, suppliers to the industry, and government leaders, so that together we can achieve common goals and further advance our sector. I'm not going to discuss this in too much detail because I think it is in your presentations as well that was sent to you, and Marie's already alluded to how the goals that we've set out actually align itself with the Millennium Development Goals. We're only 18 months into our history, and we're still trying to find our feet, but I think we've come a long way, and as we go along, we will continue to change our goals and set new targets for ourselves. So goal one was to establish the association, which we have successfully done already. Advocacy, and I think we see this as part of our advocacy, to create the awareness that we do exist and that we can make an impact in different spheres within community. Knowledge, Marie also alluded to the fact that apart from the continuous education training, we will have four professionals. Through the communities and through our skills training, we will further enhance the citizenry to take charge of programs and services for their communities. Goal four is to create the awareness. As I said earlier, you know, that's what we're going to be doing all the time, because recreation is such a new ideology, or a new sector that we would really like to see, and you will see why we're pushing this agenda when we talk about the research that's been undertaken to prove what we do.
Goal 5 is organizational excellence. We're very, very sensitive to ensuring that what we do is going to be sustainable and it's going to last forever, and that there will be new people coming in to take over to run the association when our term is up. We've established a very strict constitution, and we will abide by whatever policies that government would promote to ensure that there's transformation, there's governance and accountability. Okay, Marie will talk to you about the logo and how we came up with the logo.
The logo was was quite a debate, but our main focus was on the citizens and the people of South Africa. First of all, if you look at the little men in a circle, it represents family, it represents citizenship, and we also adhere to the colors of the South African flag because we want to represent South Africa, all the people, the diversity in South Africa as well. La Raza represents the blood of our body and our purpose of recreation in South Africa, and then we have the a kind of umbrella, we're emphasizing building livable communities for tomorrow. We want to be like a shelter for the professionals and the people working in the recreation industry.
Thank you. We'd like to see ourselves as a lifeblood to promote healthy living and you know, good, strong communities. Okay, I know most of you won't be part of this sector or this industry, so I'm going to give you a very brief overview, not a history lecture, but just to show you how and why the industry evolved. Between 1700 and 1900, there was a major shift from an agrarian livelihood where people lived mainly on farms, open spaces, and outdoors, and there was really no need for engaging in leisure time activities to the extent that people were conscious of leading healthy lifestyles. They did that as a matter of life. But once the cities started to grow after the Industrial Revolution, we saw people moving towards the cities to get work and to start working in factories, and that's how cities began to grow. And as cities grew, government hadn't evolved or developed to the extent that it managed services. And as a result, you saw unhygienic conditions, cramped conditions, congested conditions. And this just wasn't good for the health and well-being of everybody, the workers as well as children. And as time went by and towns took a more formalized setting, local governments started to get formed, and as a result they realized that building homes and houses and factories was not going to be in their best interest. And in the early 1900s, late 1800s, you saw an organized urban planning. And the Central Park in New York, as you can see from that picture, was one of the first parks that was developed for the citizens to go out and enjoy a green environment and engage in physical activity. The playground movement started towards the late 1800s as well, where there were lots of children that were left at home with parents busy working in the factories, and they realized that children were left to their own devices and it just wasn't a good idea. And the women got together and volunteered their services, and they set up the first Boston Sand Garden, where they created a space where kids could go and play under supervision of these volunteer mothers. And that's when the whole concept of plays, playgrounds and parks started to take shape. Prior to 1980, the recreation professionals just went about their duties, encouraging people to participate because it was good for them. We didn't know why it was good for them or how it was good for them, but they said, if you go out, you will feel better, you'll have fun, and it's good for your health. And having said that,
The decision makers, of course, didn't see leisure as an important element within government services. So the budget ought to be directed towards education, which is very important, police departments, fire departments, because all these departments could justify why they needed budgets. If the police didn't have a budget, there'll be crime running rampant. If the fire department didn't get a budget, they won't be able to put out the fires. People would burn in their beds. But how did recreation and leisure people support their motivation? They just couldn't. They had vague ideas about what good leisure could do for an individual. And then, of course, because the profession had no evidence to show and to prove what they did, it resulted in recreation around the world being neglected. But in 1980, which was a turning point for the industry and for the profession especially, a group of researchers decided to prove what we said. And they started the benefits-based movement, which measured exactly what the effect was in participating in the outdoor, in physical activity, in engaging with your neighbors in a social setting. So they monitored different behaviors and they recorded all their evidence. They have stacks and stacks. I think there were thousands of research papers that were undertaken, and they now were quite excited because they could provide evidence to show to the decision makers as to why they wanted bigger budgets for recreation services. They found that through recreation, fitness, active living, tourism, parks, arts, culture, and heritage services, there were 8 statements that they developed. They found that it was essential to personal health and well-being. They provided the key to balanced human development. It also provided a foundation for improving the quality of life. And when they looked at children and youth delinquency especially, they found that through leisure services, it reduced self-destructive and antisocial behavior. And when they looked at families and children and parents and single-parent homes, they found that through participating together in leisure services, they found that it built stronger families and healthier communities. They also found that it reduced healthcare costs, social services, and police and justice costs. And it was a very significant economic generator, that it boosted tourism, that it protected prevented delinquency at facilities, parks, and it also contributed to improving the rates values in properties where there was access to good parks, playgrounds, and at services. And also, quite significantly, they found it had quite an impact on the environment and the protection of green spaces. So it was important for ecological survival as well as protecting endangered species, both fauna and flora. So these are the broad 8 statements that they delivered, which they ultimately categorized into 4 categories, benefit categories. They found that the research evidence showed that leisure and recreation services contributed both to the individuals, to societies at large, to the economy, and to the environment. By the mid-1980s to the early 1990s, parks and recreation moved beyond just being fun and games. We had to be taken seriously. We take our work very seriously, that we need to be reckoned with, because when we say that keep children off the streets, keep the children engaged in positive, wholesome activities, you're going to find a long-term benefit. So it's more than fun and games now. It's serious business. And we need to take very careful note of that. So what does all of this mean for us in South Africa? All of that took place outside of our borders in the US, in Canada, and in the UK. It means that we need to begin to take recreation service delivery very seriously to meet the needs of the citizens of all South Africans to improve the quality of life. If you look at our constitution, you look at any of the provincial departments and even the metros, you find that all their aims are directed towards improving quality of life. We need to promote parks and recreation because We have a high rate of drug abuse amongst our youth and juvenile delinquency. I think the statistics from correctional services will show you that the incarceration levels are just phenomenally high. I mean, we're running out of space in the prisons with juvenile delinquents. Also, we know for a fact that we are the biggest, the chronic killer disease in South Africa is cardiac disease. And that's also increasing exponentially. Increase in youth incarceration, increase in childhood diabetes. Now, 10, 15 years ago, childhood diabetes was unheard of. Today, children as young as 12 and 13 are being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and that's because they're leading such sedentary lifestyles and they're becoming insulin dependent. And that's a cause for concern because it places a burden of disease on the state for a far longer period if somebody is diagnosed at 13 with diabetes. And, of course, across the board, we see an increase in obesity levels, which is also a major risk factor for lifestyle diseases. So who should be responsible for recreation service delivery in South Africa? And very clearly, the response to that is it is the government's responsibility, both from national to provincial and to local government. I'm not going to go into detail as to how these three tiers will function, but we need to see a collaboration amongst all three of them, with local government being the core base of communities and the primary service delivery arm. Recreation in South Africa it has been given lip service to for the last 15, how many years are we now? From 94, 17 years, you know. In 1994, when Steve Schwed passed the white paper and established the Department of Sport and Recreation, he had a vision to promote sport and recreation. And unfortunately, that just didn't filter down. So for us, we're very sensitive about it, and we feel that not much has been done in this arena. And if you look at the current transformation charter from the National Department, the word recreation is mentioned 11 times, and it is not on its own, it is in conjunction with sport. So in this country, sport and recreation seem to be synonymous with each other. They use interchangeably, and we just haven't been able to establish recreation as it should be for every citizen. So the primary focus of the charter is also sport transformation, which is not what is done in recreation. Recreation services the needs of 49 million people. Sport in this country will service the needs of conservatively 15% of the population. The National Sport and Recreation Plan presents a very strong case for sport. The only reference to recreation in its objectives and its strategic plan is to improve the health and well-being of the nation by offering active recreation opportunities. Now, in that statement alone, you can tell that recreation is not only active, because if two people are suffering from stress, one person can do something purely sedentary like meditating and reduce stress levels, whereas somebody else who enjoys outdoors and running may run for 5Ks a day. Now, the outcome is to reduce stress. The activity that you would engage in would be up to the individual to choose. So we need to really look seriously at how recreation is going to be promoted in the future, and that we're hoping that LARASA can help to guide that process as a partner. So participation in recreation and leisure activities is quite different from sport. It is intrinsically driven. It is driven by a self-motivation where somebody decides willingly and voluntarily to engage in an activity that will have a personal benefit and a personal outcome. It's also undertaken when one is free from all obligations, your work obligations, your obligations to your family, your home, and your free time is exactly that, free 100% to do as you please. It's also outcomes-based and it's not activity-based. As I demonstrated to you just now, it can be any activity that will have a positive outcome for the person. So So what are the constraints to recreation service delivery in South Africa? First of all, there's an absence of a national policy. That while there is a collaboration between the three tiers of government, it's a poor collaboration, and I'm not sure whether it's just a factor of time or the channels haven't been properly developed, but it's just not working as cohesively as they would like it to work as well. There's poor management and recreation skills at municipalities, that while all municipalities have changed in the last 10 to 15 years to employ recreation skills, there are no skills to employ. So people from anywhere and everywhere get shoved into a recreation position and say, do the job. And one cannot expect much from that person because they're really not sure what they should be doing. And the problem with that lies at the tertiary institutions. And the lack of available qualifications for training people to go out into the public service has also been identified as an issue. And also the perception that sport and recreation is one and the same thing causes a lot of confusion, and that is why we just haven't been able to move off our starting blocks with recreation. Some of the strategies that are suggested to overcome these constraints would be, first of all, to develop a national agenda for the promotion of recreation services, the retention and employment of appropriate recreation skills within the public service, and to review all current curriculum within the tertiary institutions, and to develop recreation as a serious profession. Also to promote sustainability through private and public partnerships and interdepartmental partnerships, because if you look at different departments, they have similar problems or challenges. And once people get to talk to each other, they can identify those common areas and collaborate on alleviating those challenges. And some of the departments with similar interests would be arts and culture, social welfare, correctional services, health, tourism. And that's not the end of the list, because water, I didn't know how water and forestry and energy all work, but that's also a department that's quite critical to a partnership. We also need to see a paradigm shift from being activity-centered to providing experiences and opportunities for participation. Innovative means to create value for tomorrow, and performance monitoring and continuous evaluation for improvement. That's also one of the issues. You know, we promote a lot of stuff. We do a lot of things within the field of sport and recreation, but we very rarely monitor our progress and benchmark it against our objectives and keep programs running or shelve them and go back to the drawing board. The interventions that we see should be the development of a policy to direct one's actions towards benefits, planning and based on the benefits as final outcome. Marketing is important, that we need to spread the message, to spread the word that participation is for a final benefit to the individual and to communities. We need to manage the systems, we need to manage the service delivery, and we need to evaluate all programs and services that we promote. We need to also ask ourselves, what have we achieved in the sector in the last 12 years? Can we measure the effectiveness of our effort? Have we spent the budgets appropriately? Are our youth actively engaged? What was the impact of our programs on the environment, and in what way have we stimulated the economy? And how many successful and sustainable projects have we initiated in the last 17 years? If we are having difficulty in answering these questions, then we need to take stock of ourselves. We need to be seen as service providers. We need to know who we are and what we do, and we need people to recognize that fact. We must move from being task-orientated to being outcomes-driven and focused. We need a new approach to take on our responsibilities. And it's critical that whatever we do, we need to evaluate our progress. Otherwise, we'll be just casting good value to the wind. As recreation professionals, we need to reposition ourselves. The primary purpose of directing our energies towards being goal-driven is to change the way we view ourselves and the way the public views us. In the last 18 months, LaRasa has tried very hard. It's like swimming against the tide, but I'm very pleased, or we're very pleased at our achievements, that we managed to sign international protocol agreements with the National Recreation and Park Association and the World Leisure Organization. We submitted a 2016 World Leisure Bid to host the World Leisure Congress and Exposition in 2016 in Durban. We were shortlisted as one of the preferred bidders, and it looks very positive for us because the assessment team will be coming out in October to do a site inspection. And, of course, next year we're organizing our first LaRasa Congress, Building Livable Communities through Recreation, Leisure, and Tourism Initiatives. Thank you.
Thank you, Meg. I should just call it Meg. Honorable Feather? You're very quick. That is what I was wondering. Now is it an opportunity for members to interact with the presentation? I'll start with you, Honorable Faba, Honorable De Villiers, Honorable Lucky, and Honorable Hassman.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thanks for the presentation as well from our guests. Madam Chair, I don't have a doctoral degree or anything, so you don't have to feel threatened. I'm just a normal person from my area. But I don't actually understand. I've listened to the presentation, but, you know, we've got sports, arts, culture, recreation, health, all these departments already in place. We've already got peristatals like Love Life. That's an endless, bottomless pit where money goes away, which we don't always know where it happens. You know, what happens to the money? Are the benefit going to the children that really need it, etc.? Because a lot of the NGOs don't come and report to us as committee, so we don't know if what the money is spent on. And I mean, I look at this. I've been in sports in provinces. I've been the president of a provincial cycling federation in the Northern Cape. I've been very involved in recreation with municipalities, with the parks that's been built in areas through provinces, etc., where all these functions that you've mentioned now are already included. And these are also run by people in those structures. So I don't want to say that to me this is a duplication again, but I don't understand, to be quite frank, where this comes in, because all these and maybe some of my colleagues will also ask these questions, but to me I don't understand why are we duplicating things that's already in place. If things are not happening in sport and recreation, then we as committee should talk to sport and recreation and we should say that there are shortcomings on ABCD, but that is in their functionalities and they should do that specific job. So if according to me, and as I say, I'm just another member here, but to me, I don't know why this association. I understand what you're saying for professionals, etc., but to me, everything I've heard, the involvement in sport and recreation, they're already line functions for that. So I'd just like to know this: what extra are we now going to get out of this association that's been there for 12 years, and what have been accomplished that I can really say, but you know what? I've been in council as from 2001, and this is the first time in my life I've been very involved with sport and recreation and arts and culture, and this is the first time I've ever heard of this. So perhaps if someone can help me on that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Divina. I'm going to request that you note questions as members, and then you have an opportunity to respond to that.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. My question is around the activities and the development, especially in the rural areas, from the NGO LaRasa. And the other one is when we ask these questions at our different municipalities, especially in the Western Cape, then the municipality, they will tell you that there's not enough money in the budget. actually to spend on this situation. So they can't divide the two, sports and recreation, and they, and just concentrate on the one hand sports and then the other hand recreation. Can you just elaborate on that? Thank you.
Chair, maybe let me start from the question that Honorable Fiber did not touch, that to check, because I have been listening to the presentation, that the intention is to professionalize the association. But I want to check with you that do we have a memorandum of understanding with the institution of learning, like schools and university, so that at least if you build a profession, you build from the grassroots. Do you have that understanding? And the other two is to check the connection between LERASA as the association and the other, sports body, like this sports and recreation. How close are you? Whether is it a different thing? Are you an association? They are there for sports and recreation. That's what I wanted to check. And the last point that I wanted to check, Madam Chair, is the membership to the association. Is it a voluntary membership? Or are you going to have a norms and standards that are going to enforce the membership to ensure that there is voluntary participation of the entire society on your program?
That last part?
What I'm saying is that the membership to the association, is it voluntary?
Yeah.
Or are you going to, do you have a norms and standard that will ensure that everybody, the society, is going to participate in the association so that you, at least you achieve your goals? Or is it going to be, you have mentioned a valid point that we've got sports, but in the population of 49 million, only 15% of it engage in sports. How are you going to ensure that 49 million people in this country are actually participating in this association and becomes members voluntarily? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable.
Chairperson, you will pardon me because after asking, I will go. But for the benefit of the records, let me ask these questions. Maybe let me add on what Honorable Blakey has said. In terms of you talked about your different, you are an NPO, but composed of different professionals. So in addition to your operations, to say maybe, are you accredited by the Higher Education Quality Council? Or which CETA has accredited you? I hear different aspects that you are doing as a training provider, registering those that are trained. So I want clarity there so that I'm trying to locate ourselves to say in which angle do we work with you. The other thing is the question of when you say you train volunteers, the communities, the community development workers, is it at a cost? Whose cost do you train them so that we may, if it is free, we go out, we recruit from our communities that, hey, there's this NPO here which can do these wonders. But also in trying to follow your mission and vision, you have identified the partnerships. But when you presented, you raised the question of there is this non-committal or whatever it is from sports. It's more sports than recreation. And also the municipalities. But I didn't see the partnership with the municipalities. And then I've also seen also that you sort of a pressure group with the treasury. How do you do it? Is it when the treasury wants comments from public, or I just want to know what, how do you do this pressure to say increase budget on education so that they look into recreation, increase budget on health so that they look into recreation. But I think the key things, as you were mentioning, there is a gap on the local government and sports department, because all these things, maybe you need to have an audience with the local government and also have an audience with the sports department. You also talked about the gap in the universities. You might be having sports people or whatever you call it, which is an element of recreation. Then you have picked up a niche and pitched yourself there to say there's this gap. So have you had an audience with HISA or any university in terms of, or maybe the more they have a gap is the more you get a job. So what is your relationship with the universities? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. According to the presentation made to us, it is clear that recreation is a cross-cutting matter. And that means that most of the departments should be playing a role in terms of contributing positively to ensure that recreation is taking place in South Africa. What I would like to know, what is the relationship of La Raza to the Department of Tourism, Education, Health, and all other departments, sports, and all those departments? And secondly, is who funds La Raza? The other question is, where do we find, I understand that we have offices in all provinces, where do we find your offices? And and also what kinds of programs do you run there? You have outlined clearly your goals. What I would like to know is whether these goals are linked to the broader goals of the Sports Recreation Department. How are they linked? And how are you selling, marketing yourselves in these departments that we would like to know that you relate to, you work together with? And we have also outlined clearly the constraints that are existing in South Africa as far as recreation. How do you intend addressing this from your side as La Raza? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you,
Honorable
Khasimanya. Over to La Raza.
Thank you for that, Madam Chair, and thank you to the members. I must say these are very insightful questions, and I'm pleased to hear them. The first question on Love Life and the bottomless pit, that's exactly what I was alluding to. You know, we have all these wonderful programs. They're also driven as sport, using sport activities for a specific target group, and that target group is the youth. And we know for a number of years that money has been spent on that. Has it made a difference? I don't know. I can't answer that. But you are right, you know, that money's been spent on a program like Love Life. Surely by now we'd be able to have some documented evidence to show that Love Life works. And if it doesn't work, it should be stopped. Now, somebody needs to make that decision. I don't know who it is. And it's programs like this that we need to interrogate. what are we spending money on, and what is our benefit? What's our return? Either in a healthy society, or we're seeing it in financial returns. I don't think we're expecting financial returns. We're expecting more intangible benefits for the communities and for the individuals. Okay, and that we haven't been able to address. And you're 100% correct. There are facilities all over the place. But if you have to look at the facilities that have been designed for leisure services, which have been developed by the municipalities because it's their function, you have community halls, you have open spaces, you have parks. You have community halls that are used essentially for weddings and funerals. If you look at the bylaws, it was designed for leisure activities and programming. Now, there's no leisure taking place there unless somebody decides to hire the venue on a Friday night to run a dance, or on a Saturday because they're having a function, but that will be by selected invitation. It's not open to the public. So that community hall is a public facility, and it should be used as a public facility to offer services and programs for the communities. Right? Your open spaces and parks. How many of you have grandchildren or children that you take regularly to the park where you live? You have a trim park in Kimberley. Oh, yeah, wow. Yes.
That's very exciting, but please.
Okay. No, I just want to ask the question to you. Just to respond. Yeah. Okay. If you look at the parks in all our areas that we live, the parks are unsafe. It's unlit. And the only people that occupy the parks are the people who sell drugs, or the delinquents that are hiding from somebody because they're nice trees to hide in and there's no lights that are focused on them. And of course, then you've got those beautiful botanic gardens for all our tourists. So you've got a discrepancy. Your park was supposed to be designed for our communities to engage in. And it's not being done. There are very few parks. There may be one park in Kimberley that has a trim park. In Durban, there's two parks that are the most beautiful parks, but we will only use it in broad daylight, and it's too far from where I live anyway. So the point of facilities and services needs to be where people live, work, and play. It needs to be accessible. It needs to be affordable. They need to either walk down to a park or cycle down, and a short drive, not beyond 5Ks. That's what your community park should be. And having said that, we're looking at building the environment to encourage active living and participation. We're not looking at building multi-million leisure facilities because communities can't support it. In the affluent areas, you will have private gyms like the Virgin Actors and the Planet Fitness, but that's at a cost, and not everybody can afford it. Globally speaking, your municipal services would include, as part of your ratepayers' benefit, a leisure center, leisure facility. And that's what we should be working towards, building our environment so people can engage and experience, rather than be driven by a coach or a facilitator to run programs. The second point on activities and development, there's not enough money in the budget to divide sport and recreation. I think there needs to be a strong motivation to separate the two because the aims and objectives of each one is different. That, and I'm going to answer that question together with a previous question on how do we get 49 million people to be part of La Raza. Now, 49 million people are not going to become professionals in the industry, but as a professional association, we want to encourage the way the service is being promoted. We're not going to run the services, we're not going to promote the services, but we're going to guide the process to the extent that more people get to engage at a lower cost. Municipalities build parks and maintain parks, and if they do a little bit more and spend more budgets on their community facilities and their parks, you'll find more people will engage in them. The MOU with Learning, what was that?
With other institutions.
Okay. Do you want to answer it?
We already scheduled the first meeting this year, it was in May, with universities across the country. We had four universities that attended the meeting where we proposed to them what LaRASA stands for and what we would like to move forward. And what we try to emphasize to them is that if we want to work towards professionalism, each university and that province or that area has a specific focus, area of focus that that university would like to focus on. And if we can identify in the services, these are the professions, if the universities then buy into providing the proper training to train the profession that is in the environment, and through that you'll professionalize the industry, where you put a professional in the service that is recruited with the proper skills to do the job. That person will then be able to work towards quality programs, putting quality programs in place, and getting the nation to, or the citizens or community, to engage in activities in that area where that professional is then employed.
Okay, just to add to that, our role is not to accredit qualifications. That's the Council for Higher Education. That's what the Council for Higher Education does. We will look at accrediting the people who employ the skills. So take, for example, a local municipality will employ a recreation officer. So we will say that the municipality needs to provide the environment for that recreation officer to function optimally. Just like you would train doctors to work in a hospital to treat patients, that hospital needs to meet certain criteria for the doctor to be able to do his job. So we will accredit agencies. It's not an education accreditation, but rather an agency accreditation providing the environment for optimal functioning. SAQWA, as I said, has started the process for the recognition of professional associations. We are not accredited by HISA because we're not offering education and training programs. We will be offering a certified professional examination that, while five universities will offer the recreation and leisure curriculum, we would all do it in different ways. But the ultimate outcome must be the skills and the competencies for this person going out into the industry. Do they have the skills? And that's to benchmark the skills that will go out into the industry. So we will offer the certified examination for the professional. It's not a Council of Higher Education competency, and we don't fall under CHE. And through the recognition of a professional association from SAQWA and the development of the designations of all the positions, we will have all of that in place. So for different levels, we will have different professional status. The membership to LaRASA is open and it's voluntary to everybody if you have an interest in promoting the goals of the association. So we haven't established the MOU with tertiary institutions as yet, but we're working towards benchmarking our training and our learnings. And I think ultimately everybody will be offering the same, a similar curriculum. The connection between LaRASA and Sport and Recreation South Africa, we launched LaRASA at the Sport and Recreation Conference last year in Durban in August. And the late DG, Mr. Vernie Peterson, endorsed LaRASA as an association, and he gave his support to the association. We haven't really formalized our partnerships and our roles, and we see ourselves as being a partner to the Sport and Recreation South Africa, but not to run their programs or to dictate to them what the program should be. There are no norms and standards for membership to the association, but we have different membership categories. Our lowest category is somebody that has an interest, and we work our way up through student memberships, through professional memberships, retired, and we have about four categories, and volunteers. it's purely voluntary, and it is there is a subscription attached to that. Our membership, we offer access to international conferences, workshops, research, and we would run our own workshops, seminars, and conferences as well. So that's the benefit of being part of the association. And we also want to create a network of professionals within the country itself. How do you get... have I addressed the question of the 49 million people? Not everyone's going to be members. And we're not going to provide services to them directly, but we will work in partnership with municipalities and the national department, the provincial departments, to promote recreation services. Training volunteers at a cost. Now, there are several qualifications registered, level 4, 5, and 6 community recreation programs that are registered with the Sector Education and Training Authority, CATSETA. The CEO has been very supportive of LARASA to date, and we're looking, we actually want to move forward with this and start setting up maybe the learnerships to train the volunteers to run the programs in communities. So that's where the funding will come from. We're not going to place any pressure on Treasury. We want to make sure that there are available services, there's an available environment for people to engage in. We're not going to ask for money. We're going to try and get the municipalities who run the services to justify why they need a bigger budget. So let's take, for example, a community hall. They may say, well, we want to redo this community hall. We want to put in maybe a playing field outside. We want to put something inside, and we want to try to rent other space for a drama, arts and crafts, karate and whatever. So that's the motivation we'll create, because we will give them the research evidence to show that if you keep children occupied through arts and crafts, it has an impact on their well-being, it helps them to socialize, and so on. So we will get them to motivate for the funding. We won't motivate for funding. The gap in HISA through in the universities and HISA, as I said, we won't be we won't be applying to HISA or to CHE for approval of our programs, because it's not qualifications. It's just certified exams for the professional. Like a lawyer would write a board exam, or the accountants would write a board exam, the leisure professional will write the certified exam. Recreation cross-cutting across most departments. Well, that's a beauty. We fit into the Department of Health. The Department of Health has developed some major health promotional programs based on the research evidence that they found in this country. The 2002 the Youth Risk Behavior Study, the MRC findings on the lifestyle diseases, and these programs were developed, the health promotion programs, but nothing's been taken forward. And we're saying that this is where the leisure professional comes in, because it's during this free time and the spare time of individuals that we need to start promoting the awareness why people need to engage in a healthy lifestyle. So, correctional services also, the street children's programs, the correctional services, the mainstreaming programs within correctional services itself, and closely allied to all the employee assistance programs. It's just such a mammoth task. Who's going to be responsible for that? Is it sport and recreation? Is it the municipality? Is it the government department themselves? I'd like to see us as being the agent to bring all these departments together. That's what we'd like to happen. who funds LaRasa? But right now, nobody funds LaRasa except ourselves. And ultimately, we would be funded through memberships. And, of course, through our workshops, income through our workshops and our conferences. And, yeah, that's what we will all find out, how we will try to fund our association. Where the offices in the provinces, we have identified provincial representation. And the offices are based where that person is. So I'm in UKZN. So that's where the office of LaRasa is in UKZN. For now, Western Cape has Marie, and she's at the University of Western Cape. We've got Charlie, Northwest Province, and, you know, TUT, we've got someone, Univen, Prof. Amusa's got, you know, so we've identified people who already has the infrastructure, so we don't have to pay for something, you know. The goals linked to SRSA, I think we do have similar goals, but our delivery is quite different. We haven't sat around a table yet to discuss it. We're hoping that that will happen soon. And also one of the questions was, why are we here? We've made several overtures to SALGA, to Sport and Recreation South Africa. We try to go wherever we see us able to align our goals to, and when I saw the education and recreation, I made the approach. Okay. Marketing LaRasa, we have a website. That's our main marketing tool, and through our international aligned partners, we market ourselves through their websites as well. And our university websites have us on their websites, and we market ourselves through our university websites. And eventually we will have a newsletter, and we will have our own research journal. We're working towards that as well. How do you address the constraints? Oh, we can only address the constraints through a collaboration. We'd like to see ourselves as a partner. Wherever we can slot ourselves, we want to see ourselves as a partner, and that's primarily to meet the objectives of achieving individual health and well-being, social well-being, stronger communities, and an impact on the economy and the environment.
Are you done?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, have
I missed anyone's questions?
Yes.
I did. Yeah, through the learnerships.
Did I not answer your question?
Yeah, about the rural activities and so.
Okay, you know, your recreation service and program is needs based. So, irrespective of where you are, whether you're rural, peri-urban, urban, sitting in a block of flats, your needs must be identified, and your program must be designed to meet those needs. And only on that basis would we be able to monitor it and evaluate it. For example, with Love Life, they identified youth as a problem, and that's why they started Love Life. Through sport, they would, you know, help to develop these stronger individuals. Now, that was a good intention and a good aim. So, unless they've monitored and evaluated it, they can decide whether it's worth continuing with or not. So in a rural area, your need will be quite different from your city and urban environment. And it would have to be designed specifically in collaboration with that community and to meet that need. So recreation services is not confined only to the urban environment. It's confined wherever people live. No?
Honorable Divilius, do you still have something?
Yes.
Is it a follow-up?
Yes, follow-up.
Yeah. Let me just give you. Is there...
You know, Chairperson, what I actually am driving to is the activities of LaRasa now
in rural areas. Are there somebody busy from your NGO? Are there somebody busy now? What is your plan to get somebody out there in the rural areas?
It's part of this question that you, Honorable De Villas, asked. Look, in, for an example, the school sports, it's enforced to schools that schools must, it's a must that they must do school sports. But we do not have professional sports teachers in schools. So it's just teachers, if they want to go and do it, they will do it. If they don't, they don't do it. So what I was asking as a follow-up is that in the association, because it's a voluntary movement, how, and I'm saying communities are different or different cultured, affluent communities would not have a problem into initiating and participating to a program. But there will be this community that would have a reluctancy of not enforcing themselves into a program. So how then do you as Lerasa ensure that you would not build an association with a good intention and just leave it there without putting more pressure maybe into local government to ensure that local government is able to implement what you envisage, what you think should be there? So that's what I wanted to ask you. Do you have that in plan in hand, at hand, that will ensure that everybody in the community participate in the program?
Honorable Mashodi.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. My first question, Chairperson, will be, what are your key reasons for establishing this association? In short, why do you need this association? And the second question, Honorable Chairperson, in short, if you can please describe the role that you want to play in this in the recreation sector, and what new things do you want to bring to the sector? In the rural area, Chairperson, in the rural area, we still have a challenge in terms of recreation. How do you intend to pitch the message of recreation in deep, deep rural areas? Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Before you respond, I would just like to add, some questions. While I was listening, while you were presenting, I understand that this is an NGO, but at least at the end, the question that I was asking myself was partly answered, that you want to see yourself as an agent between the three spheres of government. But maybe one would like to know, because from sports and recreation, as government, recreation will include everything. It will include everything because it gives an opportunity for ordinary people, for kids in the township to participate. Then one answer, my question is where we are more focused on leisure, while the government is including, leisure within that recreation, because there is where you expect everybody to participate for the sake of health and all that. The other thing, you talked about universities, and you also raised the issue of the challenges, which is a reality, that when you go to the township, you will expect to have a park. But because of what happened in the past, it's something that, as government, is still working on that. That it's very difficult to have a park, that standard park, as you described it, in each and every township. How do you relate that? Because to me, this thing is a professional body, but the question is, how do you relate it? Because you went even to the extent of talking about the township, ordinary people. How do you relate the two? Because to me, it's two different things. You talked about the issue of the public facilities, which is true. In each and every township or area where you find a public facility, it's used for everything. So that is why, as government, we are focusing on building multi-purpose centers. That if you've got a community hall, it should be able to cater for everything. So I just want to check, because I'm starting to be a little bit confused. You are this professional body, also looking how do we integrate, how do you make sure that this ordinary people who doesn't have facilities, how do you take them on board?
Okay. There's an association called the Provincial Recreation Council in Northwest. I think that's our closest rural representation with Larasa. You know, it's just such a minefield trying to establish oneself with the constraints of not having funds. And trying to reach every nook and cranny in this country is going to be an enormous task, considering that, I mean, we just don't have the resources. But wherever we can link with somebody, we do. So that's the only representation that we have within a rural area. School sport, well, you know, the latest developments in school sport and the training of teachers now to go back into schools is a very positive thing. Because I trained as a physical educator in the 80s, and shortly after that, they terminated all the services of the physical educationists. And that was the biggest disaster in schools. Now, the affluent communities are no different from any other community in the country. Because it's not about affluence anymore. It's about the will of the children to engage in an activity. And the fact that we do not have people who are trained to encourage everybody to participate, that you will still end up finding within the schools a 10 to 15% participation level. Whether it's leisure or recreation or sport activities, you're still not going to find 100% participation. We need to see greater involvement through the schools, because that's where we want to start with the creating the awareness for lifelong participation in physical activity or wholesome lifestyles. And we'd like to get involved with that, but I'm not sure how we're going to get involved with schools, or we'd rather work through the Department of Education as a partner and an agent again. What are the key reasons for this association to exist? I think primarily because we want to change the focus and reposition what recreation is all about. That recreation serves a much bigger and broader need for everybody in the country. And with that said, we would like to see our role as facilitating in the design and promotion of services, and to help with the promotion of services. When you refer to the community parks and open spaces and facilities, now, one doesn't need to go and spend large amounts of money to build a service or a facility. Your open space can be designed in such a way that you can create a jogging track, or a cycle track, or a rollerblading track. You need an open space. That's it. You don't need a big luxury building, which we'll have difficulty in maintaining, you know, longer term. Of course, you need the multi-purpose facilities to service one need, and the other need is in the open space where you have affordable, where nobody pays for the use of it. In 2005, very similar to the trim track that the Honourable Member had talked about in Kimberley, we developed a whole fitness trail in a Wentworth community. And that fitness trail, you could get a total body workout, the same as you would get inside a gym, very similar to a trim track. And it costs the community nothing. You can go and use that facility 24/7. And do you know what? They don't use it. Now, together with putting in a service like that, you need to promote the benefits of participating. So your whole marketing needs to come into play. There needs to be a partnership between the private sector within a community to say, well, let us sponsor this and have big billboards and signage to show that by using the fitness facility, outdoor fitness facility, which no other community has in KZN, it would greatly improve the health and well-being of the people in that community. So that while you may develop a service and a facility, there has to be a parallel marketing and promotion of that area. Otherwise, you know, they say you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. You can build the finest facility, but you're not going to get the people to support it. Within the schools itself, you've got activities going on, but not everybody supports it. But once we get the buy-in of parents to help us to compel children to participate, your after-school programs is your biggest leisure time activity for children, especially the children who have to go home and there's no mother at home because she's working. Your single-parent homes, your homes where both parents are working, children should be encouraged to participate in after-school activities, and that's where I think your schools play such a major role in leisure time activities for children. But it can't be confined to sport because not everybody likes sport. But if you have arts and crafts and drama and music and dance and cultural activities, then whoever wants to go to whatever program, it's there for them. So it has to be a needs driven. You can't say, right, today we're going to all play netball. I don't like playing netball. So don't force me to play netball. Give me something else to do. You know, so it has to be a needs driven approach. You know, when it comes to parks and recreation, we're looking at encouraging an urban built environment to promote physical activity. Rather than us saying to Treasury, look, we want 100 million because we want to put in a gym. You know, we're not going to afford it. But if we build the environment, like build a park with a jogging track and a trail, the new urban town planning in Durban has been redesigned to develop a cycle track from Durban to Umhlanga, which is about 15 Ks. So, and that's the built environment. Now you can either cycle on it, you can run on it, you can walk on it, you know, but it's going to be a dedicated lane only for physical activity, no motorists. So we're looking at encouraging the built and urban environment to promote active lifestyles again. Recreation and leisure is all about the experience to meet an individual need. Have I answered all the questions?
Are you fine, honorable members? Lastly, Mrs. Snyd, I just want to check with you because I think that I'm not, you know, you didn't answer my question. Maybe let me just put it easier or maybe for you to understand. Like you rightly...
Sorry, I didn't write it down properly. Okay.
As an NPO, we see our role as a facilitator. You know, we can't prescribe to government. That's not our intention. But we want to give them information and we want to see things being done a little differently. You know, because whatever we've done in the past hasn't worked. You know, and if it's worked, then I need to be corrected and told that it worked. And that is why we continue with something. I've been involved with recreation since 1996 as a volunteer. I've been very much part of all the structures that were established, and we've always had the problems, you know. So I'm saying that we've been there, we've done that, and we're not learning from these mistakes. We need to reposition, we need to look at things differently, and we need to discuss it openly, you know, things are working all over the world. And everywhere else in the world, they have similar problems to us. Cardiac disease, hypertension, obesity, juvenile delinquency. But the interventions that have been put into place can be measured. The benefits can be measured. We haven't been able to measure our benefits. So that's what I'm saying. We need to reposition ourselves. And we'd like to act as advisors or agents or facilitators to bring Department of Health, Department of Sport, and say, well, this is what we can do. Arts and crafts. The studies on arts and crafts on offenders and the benefits, you know, it's mind-boggling what we can achieve out of leisure services. And leisure services, you must remember, is a free time opportunity. You may be free at 10 o'clock in the morning. I may be free only at 6 in the evening. After all my obligations are done, at 6 o'clock, where can I go to relax? What can I do that's in my vicinity that I can go and engage in to recreate?
I think this is going to be my last question. I just want to check because, you know, according to a presentation and the document that I'm getting in front of me, you are only 18 months old. One would like to know, what are your achievements up to so far and what has been your challenges as an NGO?
Our achievements, I think, for us is the fact that we even got started was a big achievement, because I didn't know Marie until I called UWC to find out if there was somebody. So, and when I spoke to her, she shared the same concerns as myself, and so did the other people who came to the meeting. So that, I think, is an achievement, because we didn't know each other at all, and we had a common idea and a vision to take something forward. The fact that I think the strength lies in us being based at the universities, and that is why we're getting the kind of recognition that we are from the international community. For me, that's a plus, because we can gain a lot from their history, and we can learn from them, and we can contextualize it to suit our needs. And I think that's what we've been doing all the time. We're very conscious of that. It's not a cut and paste, and that we have very unique challenges in the country. Putting the bid together for the 2016 was a challenge in itself, because we'd never done it before, you know, and we managed to get about 12 letters of support, and from the Premier's office in KZN to the CEO of CATSETA, somebody asked a question on tourism. We're very closely linked to tourism. We have a board member from tourism, KZN Tourism, the Convention Bureau. So we've networked, and I think we have support in that sense. Not financial support, but moral support and support. I mean, if we want to have a meeting, we can call on someone and they'll offer us a free boardroom. You know, I mean, that's what we've been relying on, the generosity of some of our partners. So it's been positive in that sense. The conference next year with Prof. Amusa, who's a consultant to our board. He's the editor of the African Journal for Physical Education, Recreation and Dance. He's given us a platform to market ourselves as well, you know, in a call for papers. And all the papers that will be presented, we will form a special edition of his journal. So that's a positive for us. The challenges is that, of course, we belong to sport and recreation, and that's where we'd like to be housed. But we don't want to confine ourselves to a department because we see our value in so many other departments. That I think that was one of the downsides for us, that although they support us, they don't really support us because they don't recognize us as yet. Okay. We haven't talked yet. Let's put it that way. When we did the presentation at our launch, Mr. Bernie Peterson was very vocal in his address that you know, we should be supported. But with his untimely passing, I think, you know, now we've got to start from scratch again to create the awareness, you know, for that. What are other achievements?
Well, I think a great factor was that we've established people within different provinces that support La Raza and the goals that we stand for and what we want to achieve. And I can speak as a person that studied recreation, that worked in the industry. When you work in industry and you tell people, this is what I've studied and this is what I'm doing, they're like, where do you come from? Who are you? You're nothing. And if you speak to people that qualified in that area, and you, if you speak to people working in the area of recreation, they do a major job out there. They really do so much for communities and for the people in the communities, and doing a lot of upliftment. And they are not being recognized. And you will hear the shout from inside of these professionals asking to be recognized. And I think with the establishment of La Raza, we are providing that platform. And we have people that is coming to us, not, they haven't become members as yet, but they talk to us and they support our endeavor. And with our provincial reps that supports our ideas, I really think that is one of our major achievements. The fact that we could say that we are there for the people in South Africa that has qualified themselves, that's working in the industry, and to be recognized for what they are doing in our country.
No, thank you. I think we are almost done. Do you still want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, if you look at globally, the industry is very well developed. When the National Recreation and Park Association started in the 60s, they had about 50 members. Today they have 22,000 members, all professional people. World Leisure has a global membership of about 1,000. And then Australia, New Zealand has a professional association. The UK has a Leisure Studies Association, which is also a professional association. So there are professional associations all over the world in this field. And the reason for that is all countries offer a bachelor's degree in recreation and leisure studies, which is a professional qualification. And our programs are now going up to honors, masters, and PhD. So that's a positive, because universities are now recognizing that there's a growth here. And if you look at the number of municipalities that we have, everyone's going to employ recreation people, whether it's your officer, your supervisor, your manager. They're going to employ these people. And you're going to need people with that skill. So if you look at 284 municipalities, roughly, each one needs to employ at least 5 people. Nine provincial departments, they need to employ at least X number of people. So you're going to have these designations, and there is a career path, and there is lifelong learning in this field. And that's what we're recognizing, and we're trying to address those issues. Yeah, so we would like to see this career path growing. And as I said, the level 4, 5, and 6 qualifications that are registered on the NQF, and it's sitting with the CAT-CETA, there's a big demand that we need to start looking at developing the learnerships. and through the learnerships we can start skilling the people who are currently employed in these positions. If I look at myself, I started lecturing at the university in 2008. My first year, I had one honor student. Today, I have 9 honor students. Last year, I had 1 master student. This year, I have 6 master students. So the interest is increasing, and that's also something that we're not going to be able to stop. Thank you.
Let me just take this opportunity to thank you, and maybe like Honorable Blackie was asking, you know, because we're talking about this as a professional and your relation at school level, because one would like to see a situation like where you market yourself, you know, introduce this to the kids that know the first profession, you know, like you rightfully indicated that some people just become surprised. But it says, you know, we lack something. You know, our kids at from the school level, they're not aware of this career path. Maybe the other thing, maybe to ease your fear, the question that Honorable Faber was asking, why, what are you doing here? You know, you are free to participate in Parliament. This is activist Parliament. Everybody is allowed to come and interact with us. So we are looking forward for that further interaction. You are free, everybody is free to come to Parliament. It's not like in the past where people were not allowed, but this is where you can voice your issues. You are free to interact with parliamentarians. We are here as representatives. So I think he was not really asking us, why are you here? He wanted to know your objectives. What is that that you want to achieve as an as an organization. On that note,
just want to say exactly what you said, ma'am. The wrong way.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I've just clarified that. So we are looking forward to further interaction with you at the end. On that note, honorable members and everybody, thank you, and the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much.